Exactly. So how do we get to this absolute ultimate moral authority? Well, he tells us that, you know, if his reasoning so far has been correct, then that authority, this absolute ultimate authority, can come only from what he called in chapter two, a personal absolute, right? It's a relational type of thing. Or he also called it an absolute personality. If obligations arrive from personal relationships, then absolute obligations must arrive from a relationship with an absolute person. There it is, right? Moral standards, therefore, presuppose absolute moral standards, which in turn presuppose existence of an absolute personality. In other words, moral standards presuppose the existence of God. That's where he's headed. So this is morality, therefore God, right? That's what he's aiming.
I am an absolutely perfect parent, and so my children should always obey me no matter what. There's no other apex there. Okay, maybe there is. And he actually discusses that point, which I thought was a good critique of what someone would claim. And we'll get into that in a little bit later here. But other divine attributes, too, are evident from the logic of the moral argument, attributes of God. The fact that God himself thinks, knows, plans, and speaks is evident from the very meaning of personhood, right? That aspect has repercussions by saying a personal being exists. Well, what of that? So he knows, plans, speaks, and that's evident in the meaning of personhood. God's justice is implicit in the fact that he is the very source, the very definition of moral standards. We talked about this with Mitch Stokes, and he has kind of a different way of answering this. But ultimately, the moral standards are derived from God's own character that he then reveals to us in his word.
Right. And so Frame points out that this is a transcendental argument.
Hey,
right?
Look, it's there.
He's yeah, okay we with just it. We backed ourselves into tag, right? So rather than offering, you know, a straightforward empirical evidence for God, right? This argument asks the deeper question, what must be the case for morality to be possible? That's what this argument is, right? And that's a transcendental type of argument. What has to be the case for morality to exist? Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's so it's the step be in back of the question. Here are empirical evidences of God. It's the one that's in back of that. Well, what has to be the case for morality to exist? He says, now the argument, of course, does not prevent anyone from choosing unbelief. Right. It doesn't force somebody to believe in God.
Right.
You know, one can do that in the face of any argument. We can still be, you know, refuse to believe it, right, no matter how strong the argument may be. Right? Right. So it doesn't really force belief is what he's getting
at. Yeah, it's not a magic spell that we can cast and we can say the transcendental argument and it forces them to robotically get up and bend their knee at the altar.
Right. Right.
So the choice is this: either accept the God of the Bible or deny objective morality, objective truth, the rationality of man, and the rational knowability of the universe. Those are some big keys that would go away from the denial of this argument. Thus, let no one say that Christianity lacks a rational basis or that the non-Christian covenantal wisdom is more rational than Christianity. Well, you know, just people exist, therefore we have obligation. Well, no, hold on. Why? I sign an agreement with somebody else and now I'm obligated. Can you tell me why that's the case? Well, because society would crumble. Well, I don't care about society. I don't want to pay three times the market rate for the agreement that I have here. But, you know, now I've signed my name on the line. And also signing your name on the line, what is putting my name on a dotted line do? How is that even great? Or like I get up in front of a court and I say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And I raise my hand. What, you know, why are all these things here? Well, they all harken back to a Christian understanding of this covenantal aspect of truth telling, of moral agency, of moral absolutes that have carried us along for this well, and Now we're providing the basis for that, the justification for that. And so the other side should as well.
Right. So personal and personal relationships allow for morality. And then ultimate moral principles come from an ultimate relationship. And that's how he gets us to God. So the question is, you know, what has to be the case for morality to exist? Well, we have to have an ultimate personality in order for us to have those types of ultimate obligations.